Each time I go across, I do a poppy run for my brother and his mates and the two, three cavalry men that died on the day. And that's a bit of a heart-wrencher, but the rest of the time we were looking around Vietnam and went to the Coral Battle Site, Balmoral Battle Site, down to where they started talking about the Paris Peace Agreement in Long Binh. And the beauty of it is I travel each time with a two-term 5R vet that speaks fluent Vietnamese, and he's able to read these magnificent big structures and signs that tell the Vietnamese side of the story. And it's frightening, you know, what they did to us when you read what their propaganda machine talks about. It's quite enlightening, actually, and you think, I wonder if this is the battle that I know about. Yeah, very, very interesting, very interesting.
We've heard a lot about Long Tan, but that wasn't the only battle.
No, Long Tan, without taking anything away from Long Tan was 108 of our guys up against something like an estimated force between 1,500 and 2,500 of the revolutionary forces. Our boys stumbled across that, and that's 6 Ra. So with 108 men, it became quite a battle for a number of hours on the 18th of August in 1966. But three things come to my mind personally about that battle that we don't often hear about. We know that we killed up to 245 of their forces, and that's a pretty rough estimate because bodies were taken away. But three things come to mind, and that was the two guys that flew the helicopter. Initially, they wouldn't give support by helicopter because it was in a rubber plantation and it meant that the helicopters would be at tree level. Quite easy, good targets. But these guys disobeyed their orders of the day and wrapped up ammunition in and left it in their wooden boxes and wrapped blankets around them and dropped them, kicked them straight out the helicopter. No parachutes, nothing. And they landed where they needed to be. And because of that, the two guys, one got the Distinguished Flying Cross and the other was mentioned in dispatches, got the high one. So that appealed to me. And I was fortunate enough to see the track that the APCs took. And the APCs left our task force base, which was about 5K away, had to get across a swollen river before they were able to get there and do their bit. And the third thing was that when I was at Long Tan in 2006 at the 40th anniversary of the Battle of Long Tan, I was listening to the New Zealand High Commissioner, and he was talking about the role that the New Zealand gunners played on that day. And they were firing from 5,000 to 6,000 metres away, which was the optimum range for that particular weapon that they were using. And the guys on the ground in Long Tan at the battle were calling it into within 30 or 40 metres of themselves. They were prepared to die. But as it turned out, the shells, when they hit the ground, the blast went away from our people into the area where they should have gone. So those guys did a marvellous job. And in the meantime, there were two United States Phantom planes flying above, which couldn't do what they were meant to do because they couldn't see where they had to do what they had to do because of the inclement weather conditions, was raining and whatever else. So they dumped their load on the long highs that we often talk about. There was one local man, Gary McCormick, who I'd love to run into sometime. Gary went out the next day and helped clean up the Long Tan site, pick up the injured, wounded, and brought their mates back home. So that was the Battle of Long Tan. But without taking anything away from Long Tan, I think that was one day in 1966, and we were there for about 5 years after that. So lots of other things happened to our boys that needed to be, I believe, recognised.
Tell me about the Battle of Coral.
Coral was in June of 1968. And it was a bit of a mix to start with, and what they wanted to do was set up a fire support base something like 45k away from their normal ground. What happened in the morning, they were meant to be picked up, our boys were meant to be picked up by the United States helicopters and flown out. That didn't happen, the helicopters were diverted, so our boys sat around and waited till mid-afternoon. And you can't really do much in mid-afternoon when you've lost all that day of working time. The engineers were on the road by convoy. But what they were going to do was go and set up a fire support base in what they call the catcher's mitt, which was in Zone D. And the other thing they overlooked was Zone D was about 10K away from one of the main headquarters and one of the freedom fighters that we were there to... didn't expect to find there. So they thought there might be up to 10,000 Vietnamese fighters there, which we didn't know about. They thought they were only there to pick up the stragglers on the way back. There was actually a staging post for all the activity that was happening during the mini Tet Offensive. We had four of our local people there, which I'll talk about, but on the first night, early in the next morning, an enormous amount of mortars flew in, rockets flying overhead. Our mortar platoon were overrun, and we had, from memory, 15 people in the mortar platoon, which five were killed. One gun was taken, another one destroyed, but we put up a good fight, beat them back. The next day it was heavily fortified. The Australian Centurion tanks arrived, and that was the first time that tanks had been used in battle since the World War II. And that night they attacked again, and a bit of a scrap went on. The whole thing lasted, if my memory is right, for about 45 days, just on and off of battles. And in the meantime, our boys were out. In that period, they did 71 missions outside what we call the fence or the wire. We lost a lot of people. We lost 26 Australians killed there in the Battle of Coral. The conservative figure, we killed 276 of their forces. And these are not VC guerrilla forces. These were trained soldiers of the Vietnamese army.
You've just been there. What's the terrain like?
It's a rubber plantation. It's flat. At the back there was natural bush. Currently there's two memorials, Vietnamese memorials, one to the Magnificent Men and the other one to the villagers of that area that also supported the what was happening at the time. So all this happened up until the 4th of June. No more attacks after that, so the Aussies abandoned the base. But without the support of the Americans, and they were flying over and doing their wonderful thing, the tanks arrived, APCs were there on the second day. But it'd be fair to say on the first day, we were caught short. Now, I spoke to Peter Clayton in Vietnam, and Peter was an engineer there. And he said they will put up one of the perimeters. And his words to me were, Bob, if they had to come through us, we couldn't have done a thing. We had no weapons. But he said we soon quickly got underway building mines. The engineers built their own mines with nuts and bolts and everything else that they could find. So that was their contribution. So local people there were Ewan Blair, Peter Clayton, Graham Stretch Patzel and Brian Burford. So we had those four or five guys there.
And they escaped injury?
Those boys certainly did escape injury. So that was Coral, and it could have been quite disastrous actually, but was able to be turned around. But we did lose 26 Aussies there. 26 killed in action and 109 wounded. And those killed were from 1RA, 3RA, the field regiment squadrons, and one reconnaissance flight.
And yet this is a battle that I suspect many people don't really know about.
Most people wouldn't know about it, no. And there are others. This was what they call Coral Balmoral. And some other time I'd like to talk about the one that Winston Prowse was in. He was in another battle. You and our RSL president, Owen Pettinger, was in a different battle. And so we'd like to bring it all back to what these were doing. But I guess at the end of the day, it's not about Long Tan Day. It's about Vietnam Veterans Day. And without taking anything off Long Tan, 108 blokes against 2,500, and they came out with a decisive victory, was excellent.
What's planned for Sunday?
This coming Sunday is Vietnam Veteran Day, and commencing at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at the Soldiers Memorial in Van Sittart Park, there will be a service. The local dignitaries, the mayors and Superintendent Twilley will lay out wreaths. We will put out wreaths for the three local boys that died in Vietnam, including my brother from New South Wales. But following that, there'll be a bit of an adjournment back to the RSL, where we'll probably have a beer and something to eat. But look, everybody is welcome to attend. It's about honouring those that died and those that fought on our behalf.